Okay, well, welcome, and let me just give you a quick introduction. So for those of you who don't know Dinesh Chauhan, Dinesh Chauhan has been one of the main teachers working in the case-taking process, which he describes as the scientifically intuitive case witnessing process, or CWP. And Dr. Dinesh has lectured internationally. He's also he has a 3-year clinical course program in Japan, Serbia, and Israel. He also conducts video courses and has created online courses for homeopaths in Canada, England, Japan, Belgium, Egypt, and the USA. Dinesh is the author of 2 books. One is called The Journey to the Human Core, and the other one is titled A Wander with a Little Wonder, Child-Centric Case Witnessing. And he was also instrumental in putting together Dr. Rajan Sankaran's book, An Insight into Plants, Volumes 1 and 2. And Dinesh is a very passionate lecturer on homeopathy. He's really one of the more popular sensation teachers today, and he's very well received by his patients. He's a very caring and dedicated homeopath, and we're very pleased to have him on today. So thank you, Dinesh, so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Kim.
So, Dinesh, I thought I would start by asking about that. I know you're using the vital sensation method, and you've studied quite a bit with Rajan Sankaran.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, as what you see is the connection between the vital sensation method and a more kind of classical or Hahnemannian approach to homeopathy?
See, Kim, when I started teaching initially about sensation method, the one question which came up in all the conferences was, what is the connection between these two, the old classical homeopathy and the modern classical homeopathy? And many were confused. When I started learning, because initially I started learning with physics, and I understood in physics the meaning of the sciences, in the true science, the new never replaced the old one, but it includes in it. The new is the further extension of an old one. So if I said if that is so, then our old time-tested theory about homeopathy, which is individualization and holism, is the one which must be connecting to both the modern as well as the old classical homeopathy. And then I came across this law, holographic theory, which says what is true for one part of the system is also true for the other part of the system. So I said, if for homeopathy, if the individualization and the holism is true, then it must be true for each and everything which we do in homeopathy. Whether understanding a human being, whether understanding the case-taking process, whether searching the remedy, whether studying my Materia Medica repertory proving, or whether understanding the follow-up criteria. Once I understood this, then I understood that how these two laws are connected. Then I said that, yes, what Hahnemann spoke in aphorism number 153 and 154, PQRS symptom. Then I understood that PQRS symptom can be at the local level, can be at the general level, and can be at the holistic level. And that the PQRS at the holistic level is the one where the both the laws are connected. Individualization at the holistic level. Then I understood that the PQRS at the holistic level must be the true. And that's where I understood that what Dr. Rajan is trying to say, the sensation and the energy level, is nothing but the PQRS at the holistic level. And that's how I understood that at this level, all other modern classical homeopaths are also connected. What Dr. Vitholka says, the essence of homeopathy, or what he says, the human being is divided into mind, body, and a spirit. The spirit part is nothing but the PQRS at the holistic level. Same way, the many other homeopaths who are speaking about different language they use, whether the core, whether the essence, whether it is this all means the PQRS at the holistic level. So this is where I understood that what Dr. Rajan is trying to say the seven levels of experience is nothing but the highest level where the mind and body are connected is this holistic level. So this is what I understood, that the all the laws what we understood previously, individualization, holism, is still also hold true. The only thing is the people are using the different language. So I many times jokes with my student that we are fighting because of verbal fallacies.
That's great.
Yeah.
Dinesh, you know, you, in your case witnessing process that you describe, you talk about it being ageless and timeless and beyond any personality. So can you describe that a little bit? What do you mean by... can the case witnessing process really be ageless, timeless, and beyond any personality? And how do you see your case-taking process, you know, in relationship to all the other schools of case-taking that have preceded it?
Yes, yes, Kim. This is the second step I took up when I, in 4 or 5 years back, I understood that if individualistic expression at the holistic level is most important, then definitely the case witnessing process or a case taking process has to be based on the individualistic expression at the holistic level. Imagine if we believe in individualization, then the whole method of bringing out these individualistic features should be individualistic. And who will decide this? A homeopath who has a knowledge of case taking or a patient? The first thing I understood that it is a patient who will decide this. And this is what Hahnemann also mentioned in aphorism number 83, which is the first aphorism of case witnessing, that the whole process of case taking is individualistic, and I won't be able to talk much here because it differs from patient to patient. The second question in my mind was that why in one seminar, Kim, you will agree with me that whenever we go to homeopathic seminar, no two homeopaths agree to one remedy. No two homeopaths come to the same understanding. So then I understood that how can we do case taking in such a way which is ageless, timeless, but most importantly beyond any personality, where the case taking itself is integrative, which integrate the old classical as well as new classical homeopathy. And it is so simple, which can be explained to layman as well as the most developed scientific man. As I kept understanding, and I said, then the method has to be human-centric. Means the whole method has to be according to the human who is sitting in front of me and not according to my book knowledge. And that's the reason why I defined the case-taking, that it should be integrative, simple yet scientific, human-centric, and diagnostic and therapeutic to both our patient and healer. And in order to do that, I divided the case-taking into two parts. Can I go into that?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Yeah. So what I did, I said the case-taking has to be somewhere, the first part of the case-taking has to be universal, has to be scientific, which is applicable to all our patients, whether from young child to the old with any pathology. And that's why I divided the case into two parts, case-taking into two parts, the passive case-taking and the human-centric case-taking. The passive case-taking is that part of case-taking which is universal, where you allow the natural flow of the patient without altering it. Like we have a Lao Tzu's quote, you know, who says, do you have the patient to wait until the mud settles and the water becomes clear? Can you stay unmoving when the right action arises by itself? That is what I understand. So in a passive case taking, you wait till the right action arises by itself. When I say right action, what I mean by is passive case-taking gives us some clue. What clue passive case-taking gives us? First, when I'm listening to my patient, I'm paying attention to all verbal and a non-verbal expression which are out of place, out of order, out of flow, out of content, out of time, out of my knowledge and out of patient knowledge. Everything which is out of place, I make note of it, whether verbal or non-verbal. So this gives me a freedom to note down all PQRS as it is. And when I'm noting down all PQRS, I try to understand out of this, which one is coming up again and again in 2-3 different areas, not related to each other, in a different time zone. Different area, so that I know if it is coming in different area, this must be the center of the patient. Imagine different time zones. So one in chief complaint today, one dream which was 20 years back, and one incident which was 15 years back, and a childhood. Imagine all different time zones, the same thing coming up. This definitely will give us the entry to the center of the patient. Once I understand this, then I try to understand what is the level of experience of the patient. Now, why that is important? I got the center of the patient, but I don't know where my patient is, whether he is understanding life at the emotional level or very common level, or life at the very evolved level, that is at the holistic level. That is what Dr. Rajan says, the sensation and the energy level. Because where my patient is, I have to start my journey from there. Earlier what used to happen, that I used to ask all the question in all the patients. Then I realized that according to the level of experience, if we ask question, then patient has this freedom to move with us, and we have a right entry point for the patient. So these 3 points, there is one more point which I do when I am understanding the patient at the passive case taking, is when patient is talking to me, is he is putting everything to himself, or whatever he is saying, he is denying, projecting, or rationalizing it. Now, why this is important? Because many patients will talk to themselves. Then the simple question like, what do you feel? What do you experience? What are, you know, happening to you? We can ask. But a patient who are denying, I cannot ask this direct question to them. A patient who is projecting on a friend or a television or other person, I cannot ask, what do you feel, you perceive? They will not answer this. So my formation of a question will be according to what is the level of the experience and what they are doing to that level of experience. So imagine by end of this, I got what are PQRS, out of this PQRS, what is the PQRS coming up again and again? Yeah, that will become center of my patient. After that, how he is experiencing that PQRS, means the level of experience. So I will ask question accordingly. So imagine the end of passive case taking, I am ready for human-centric case taking. That is the second part of the case taking, where now I will do case taking according to his center. I will not ask general question to him, and now I will ask all the questions related to his center. So that is the human-centric case taking.
Dinesh, is this scientifically intuitive human-centric case witnessing process, is it applicable in children as well?
Definitely it is in the children as well. Before going into that, let me explain you the human-centric part, and then I go into that.
Okay.
So the human-centric is, now I'm starting a human-centric. That's why I named this case-taking scientifically intuitive. Because the first part is very scientific. You pay attention to the scientific clues, and now everything is intuitive. Now you know what to ask, when to ask, how to ask, and what will take to the center of the patient. That is human-centric. Now, human-centric case-taking has been divided into two: active case-taking and active-active case-taking. Now, why into two? Because imagine if you have the center of the patient, and if you select it wrong, then till the end you will go wrong. So I first put it the active case-taking. So what active case taking does is it joins the it's like a bridge point, you know. It's like a transient period between the passive and active actor. Now, active case taking makes you sure that you are on the right track. Now, how it will make sure? When I ask about the focus, gradually what patient does is he start joining the other PQRS symptom with this process. So when patients start doing that, I know I am on a right track, because in the end, simulimum is nothing but it's the whole process of this PQRS joining together at the holistic level. Gradually what patient do is they start joining the verbal language and the hand gestures together. So I know that my patient is moving towards holistic level, because at the holistic level the word and the gestures start coming up together. So the aim of active case taking is to confirm the focus, and in a cases where focus is not there, I go into subconscious area to confirm it. And once I am 200% sure, I start active case taking. Means now, this is the center which will give me everything about this case. Means all PQRS which will point out to the single remedy. This is my whole process, Kim. And if it's active, the kingdom, sub-kingdom, mayasm, PQRS rubrics, the materia medica, everything get joined into single process. So this is it, Kim, the basic outline of the whole case taking. Like here, I have not mentioned that this belongs to one system, because anybody from a student to a teacher who is practicing for 40 years can do this without thinking of materia medica or anything. In the end, definitely these all are important, but while doing the case taking, this doesn't, when you do case taking like this, doesn't come into between, in between. Yeah, Kim.
So the case witnessing process itself, can it have a healing awareness in the patient as well as the physician?
Definitely. It can have a healing. Imagine if you're doing a case taking like this, gradually from a passive to active, you are taking your patient towards his center. The first time you are showing him mirror of himself completely. You are showing him this is your whole altered pattern at a holistic level. So the first time patient becomes aware of his whole pattern, all PQRS, and sometime even his source. This awareness itself is the healing to the patient. Now recently what I have developed in this case taking, that as you go to active, the Herring's law of direction of cure start coming up in the case taking itself. Exteriorization means, or homeopathic aggravation start happening in the case taking itself, where the patient start feeling aggravation of their chief complaint or feelings or delusion at right in the case taking, which shows us that we are on the right track. So yes, the healing definitely with this kind of holistic case taking, the healing do happen. The gradually patient goes to the healing awareness level, where first time they get a window into their holistic altered self. And many patients says that this is what I understood, that this is who I am at every stage of my life. And this is my basic problem. And this also gives you a time to search for a simulimum, because if this temporary awareness happens in the patient, it gives you a time to search for their correct simulimum. So in active case taking, first I try to find out the whole process of the patient, where PQRS is there, the whole remedy is there, which nobody can deny it. Once I get there, then the next step is to take this whole process towards its source. Like a Natramur patient takes from all the rubrics towards the source, where patient finally mentions that yes, this is what is there within me, the cation and anion, and finally he goes to the natural mu. And then the next step is make them aware. Imagine a patient who are denying or projecting or rationalizing. A person who has lived his life in projection for 40 years during case witnessing process says, what I was projecting it till now to you, doctor, is actually me. What I am denying is actually me. This can be a great awareness. Yeah, Kim.
Interesting. Dinesh, can the process of searching the materia medica in homeopathy also be scientific and based on these individualistic expression at the holistic level?
Yes, yes. My third step was this. Once I understood the case taking, my third step was this, that imagine, Kim, that most of us, from a student to the highest practitioners, have a different knowledge of materia medica. Some have thematic materia medica. Some knows materia medica, old materia medica. Some student knows only 200 remedies. Teachers like Dr. Vitholkas, Dr. Shankaran, Shalton, they know many remedies, thousands and thousands of remedies. So in the end, if I've done a case-taking like this, the remedy may differ. You're getting it?
Yeah.
Or in the end, my bias may come. What I know about the materia medica, I will select a remedy according to that. So my step was that how I can keep this bias also aside and try to all the people presenting in the auditorium come to the same, probably same understanding of the remedy. And for that also, I divided the searching of the remedy into five steps. The first step was, when I'm searching a remedy, once the case taking is over, I will put in front of me all PQRS from head to toe, from passive case taking to active case taking to active-active case taking in front of me, so that I don't miss single data, because it is humanly possible that we only see what our mind wants to see, or you know, what our mind wants to see. So I put in front of me. The second step I do is, out of this thing, what is that process? What is that holistic PQRS? What is those PQRS at the holistic level, which is the center of the case, the core of the case, the essence of the case? That I put in front of me. Because what is simillimum? Simillimum is a one where the center of the patient is matching with the center of the remedy, either in materia medica or proving or source or in a natural state. So once I put in front of me that, then I know that if I do repertorization, 15 remedy may come, but I need to search the center, which has to be as it is. And then a few stops I follow. Now in the center itself, the PQRS rubric of that remedy is there. The simillimum is one where the holistic sensation match in holistic sensation itself, the PQRS rubric of that drug, either in materia medica or repertory, is there as it is. So I check that center and try to see which materia medica remedy is exactly matching with this. And then definitely I follow which kingdom, which subkingdom, and finally search which are the other rubrics which are matching with the remedy, so that you don't go wrong. But the most important thing is the second step, the core you put in front of you, so that you don't go wrong. Yeah?
Dinesh, I'm curious, how do you use our existing materia medicas, our repertories, the proving knowledge we have, in conjunction with your find the simillimum using your case witnessing method?
Yes. Now, this was my fourth step, actually, when I started understanding it, that if individualistic expression at the holistic level is most important, then definitely while reading materia medica or repertory, what I need to see is the individualistic expression of each remedy at the holistic level. A lot of my students used to say that, yeah, you are understanding PQRS at the holistic level or at the sensation and the energy level, but our materia medicas are not written here in that way. And it is so difficult to read all Shalton's book, all cold classical books, all the new books by Dr. Vitholkas, and so many books. we get confused completely, and we need 2-3 lives to finish it. I said, no, if you follow the system, you don't need that. So, definitely, our old books are written 200 years back, 150, 100 years back. But if we understand them systematically, they will show the flow to us. Like I give you a simple example, like for few things I follow by reading the Materia Medica and proving, or while making the themes of the family. I tell students many times that if my teachers can do it, you all can make the themes by yourself and search it in your own way by using these computer programs which we have in front of us, like Radar and other programs. You just do the search function and you will come to the same end result what our masters have come to, if you follow the scientific steps. And that what I follow this topic, there are few steps. Would you like me to go into it?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So what steps I follow is, first when reading Materia Medica, I said, okay, any Materia Medica I use, what is that which is coming up in physical generals, physical particulars, and the mind of that drug which is common? Second, what is that which is like in a latest proving from Dr. Vitulkas onwards, all the provings what has been done by our masters, what is that which is coming up in the various component of the mind? Like, the intellect, fears, dreams, what is that coming up again and again? And that will form the holistic part of that drug. Let me give you an example of belladonna. If you read belladonna from Fatak, whether you read generalities, whether you read particulars or a mind, the one thing which runs again and again is the suddenness, the acuteness, the panic. So we can definitely say that the sudden, acute and panic must be the holistic theme of the stemonium family, or stemonium or belladonna drug. The third step I follow is what is running up in the, like there are some Materia Medica like Bogart Synoptic Key, Herring's Encyclopedia, where the sensations are mentioned. Then I say, okay, what is the sensation which is running up in all the part of that drug? And that will become the holistic sensation. Let me give you an example of Berberis vulgaris from, let's say, Franz Vermeule, or from Fatak, or a Boric, or a Synoptic Key, any book you take. The one rubric which runs in every part is the pain changes its character and a location. So then you say, okay, it is every part of Berberis reading any book, so this must be the center of Berberis vulgaris. Not only this, when you read other drugs like Colophyllum, Podophyllum, Berberis aquifolium, which all belong to the same family, the same theme running in every part of this drug. Like Podophyllum has a stool which in the morning it is soft, very liquid, in the afternoon it becomes soft, semi-solid, and the evening it is solid and the color is also changing. So we can say like this while reading that, yeah, all drug has this thing. That means the family theme of this whole drug, the family must be the change of character and a change of location at the holistic level, whether it is mind, body, or mind and body together. That is how the student can learn. Then you have books, the fourth point. We have book like synopsis. One of the book which is there, which is mentioned the single remedy rubrics. I forgot the name of the book, Kim. If you know that, it is by
remedy rubrics.
Yes, single remedy rubrics by okay. So there are single. So when you read them, out of one remedy has, let's say, 20 or 30 such rubrics. And out of that, what is that which is commonly coming up?
Right.
Like when I did a search with computer, let's say you do with a radar, and you do a search that give me, let's say, Dioscorea, only that rubric which is there in Dioscorea, and you will find that only theme coming up is the twisting, the stretching, the pulling, like this. So you can say, okay, Dioscorea is this theme, and then you read all Materia Medica, same theme comes up. Even in the Nature, Dioscorea is like this. So that is how, these are 4 points, I just revise it, that what is that which is running up in the physical general, physical particular, and mind of that drug. Second point, what is that which is running up in all component of that drug? Like all component of mind, like dreams, imagination, phobias, nightmares, what is that which is common? What is that which is common in physical sensation and the physical particular and the general sensations? What is that which is running up in all the single rubric remedy of that drug? When they study like this, they come to the common. Then, like recently I taught a periodic table, where one periodic table, one row I spoke with, let's say, Materia Medica, one row with Repertory, one row with Dr. Shalton, and one row with Dr. Shankaran, and one row I told student, lanthanide I told student, you derive it. So if you follow this logic, everywhere the same thing comes up. And that same thing which is comes up in all these books is really the right thing which is coming up again and again. So that is how so if you pay attention to the individualistic expression at the holistic level of that remedy, then you can derive the central theme of that drug as well as that family. And I did this experiment with students. I said, the teachers have done just 20 or 40 families. Why don't you do each new one and see whether you come to a right understanding?
Dinesh, I wanted to ask you about your seminar in Minnesota. I know you're going to be doing a seminar from October 12th through the 16th, and I think it's called MN Sensation Seminar. I guess if people
Minnesota Sensation Seminar, yes.
Yeah. If people want more information, they can go to the website, which is www.minnesota, that's MINNESOTA, and then the word sensation.com. So www.minnesotasensation.com, and you can see, you can get all the information there. Could you tell us a little bit about what exactly the seminar is about and how it's going to be different from other seminars?
Yes, yes. See, last year I met Chris. She is the organizer of this seminar in Himalayan Seminar, where we do this seminar. I do seminar with Dr. Jayesh Shah, and the whole aim of the Himalayan Seminar is to do the highest form of case taking and take the case taking to the awareness and healing level. So the Chris told that, can we create such kind of, you know, seminars in Minnesota, where participant not only, where our whole focus is on case witnessing process, where everybody learns case taking, where morning we do live case taking, afternoon we do video cases, and this everything completely, and different age group people we bring in, like child to to adult and different pathology. But this seminar, we decided that it should not be 1 or 2 day seminar, but it should be 5 days, so that people really understand the different aspect of in how it is reproducible in every situation. Whether patient who is really at the fact level, who can't talk anything to the highest level patient. But more than this, the whole aim was that we don't want to create a seminar. We want to create where the participant also feel awareness. So the morning, we have kept like a meditation and everything, and in evening, there will be like a recreation and a function, programs like dancing and, you know, singing and campfire and walk in the woods and something like that. So who list, you know, completely, so that parties, all participants will stay together there, and we will, it's not only 9 to 5, but after 5 also we'll have some philosophy direction, walk, you know, campfire, walk in the woods, and in the morning yoga and kind of some healing music to make it complete. And I think Chris is doing really good job of bringing people. She already have 45 plus people there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. And Dinesh, I know you're working on a lot of different things, different books and DVDs. Can you just tell us what you're working on, what your future plans are, where you'll be?
Kim, you are aware of my first book, A Journey into Human Core.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Now, why I wrote that book was the people understood sensation, but there were a lot of misunderstanding between how it is connected to the old and the... So what I did in that book is nothing but it is the shows that how from the physics, how from Hahnemann, how from physiology, how from even Kant and Boninghausen and all, you can understand the 7 level of experience. How Hahnemann himself spoke about this in a different words. So then, that the how it came, it is not new, but how it is connected to the old. So my first book is Journey into Human Core, is about that, to explain people the connection between the old and new. That's why Narayana said, the Narayana publication said, it is the missing link between the modern and the old. Then I started working on case taking. Actually, I wanted to publish first this book, which is coming out next, is Scientifically Intuitive Case Witnessing Process. The basic about which I spoke to you in this interview, but more in that whole case is that how to take case to healing level, how to take case to source level, how this case taking is connected to yoga and many, that, you know, Ashtanga yoga, and how every step you can understand through a logic. And then after logic, there is intuition, that how it can be followed by anyone. So in fact, the next book which is coming up, it's a pivotal point about this case taking. That how people belonging to any school, I am very sure they will identify with it. As far as possible, I've tried, I've removed the personality point, you know, try to go beyond personality and try to create something which is universal and people identify. Whole focus is on case taking, so that people can reproduce and later on they can use their existing knowledge from wherever, whatever school they belong to, of Materia Medica, in order to come to the remedy. And then same I started applying in the children. The one question which we missed in the interview, my question was that how is this whole method is applicable in the children itself? Can children as young as 2.5, 3, whose verbal language is developed, can go to the whole process, to whole holistic center and even into the source level? And that case taking I've mentioned in the A Wonder with a Little Wonder. How to explore their fears very scientifically and go towards their center with their fears. How to go to their PQRS at a holistic level with their dreams, with their imagination, with their drawings. And I've given almost like 12 complete cases there that how each child goes to their center. So these are the 3 books which I have. The 2 book is already done. Third book will come out in a month, which will be available everywhere. It will be the Scientifically Intuitive Case Witnessing Process.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And what about teaching? Where are you going to be teaching in the next period of time?
Next I'll be, this next week I'm going to UK.
Yeah.
Where the Misha Nolan School is celebrating 30 years of their school, 30 years of the school.
Yeah.
Where you are also coming and we are teaching together.
Yeah, yeah.
There I am teaching for the 2 days on children case taking. And one day we have this common seminar where Dr. Shalton, Dr. Shankaran and many others,
yeah,
Massimo and all are talking on a one day. Then I have in Germany for 3 days before that, where I will exclusively talking on children case taking, different aspect of children case taking. Then I'm going to Japan, where I'll be talking the deeper case witnessing process, because there I do 3 years course, so I'm almost on the second last part of that course.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So there I'll be teaching about the more deeper case taking, taking the case to the awareness level and to the healing level.
Great, great.
And how to be very, very sure, like how the homeopathic aggravation comes up, Herring's law comes up in the case taking, how to understand them and be sure of the case taking process. And
okay.
Then I'm coming to US, yes, in before that I'm to Bulgaria, and then I'm coming to US, which will be my first visit. And I'm really looking forward to this.
We're looking forward to having you. So, you know, I think I'll open it up and let some other people ask some questions, Dinesh.
Sure, Keith.
Go ahead and do that. Anybody have any questions for Dinesh Chauhan? Can people hear me? Hello?
Hi, Kim. We hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Any questions? Don't be shy.
They're just such big questions.
Hey, it's okay.
I think it's hard to understand what you're talking about without having seen an example of it or heard an interview. And I'm wondering, do your books have transcripts, for example, or... Or how could a person get a better grasp on what you're actually doing?
Can I answer, Kim?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes. See, if you see my both the books, it is only about case taking, and there are verbatim word to word what I ask, why I ask, and it every step is mentioned in the case. So there are 10 complete cases in my pediatric book, A Wonder with a Little Wonder, and a new book you will have 12 full cases with my colleagues' cases all from all over the world, 3-4 cases.
Great.
I can understand your difficulty, what you are saying, because it is just you are hearing me for the first time. But each case shows that how you can do a case taking and can be unprejudiced and really go to the center of the patient, where everything is connected. And each case I've mentioned, what is passive case taking? Okay, I asked this, then active case taking, I asked this, why I asked also is mentioned there.
Great. Other questions?
This is Chris Slotin.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
Just to mention also that I think there are 3 paper cases on the website, and there are 3 videos of Dinesh YouTube videos. So that may help people follow.
And to get those YouTube videos, what do they type into YouTube? What's the best way to get that?
Oh, you know what? I don't know, but it's on the MinnesotaSensation.com website.
Okay, good. All righty. Other questions or comments? We got a few minutes here still. This is your golden opportunity.
Well, I'm wondering if we have time for an example.
Yeah, Dinesh?
Yes, I'll give you a simple example of a case. Yeah,
so go ahead.
This case which came to me with the lichen planus all over the body, steroid-dependent lichen planus. A young girl around 27, yeah, staying in the UK, Scotland, but she is an Indian. So when I started passive case taking, the first part where I'm just listening and collecting, following are the things which were PQRS, out of place, out of order. I asked her a question, just go on and tell about you. Just whatever naturally comes, be spontaneous and keep talking about you. Everything you will speak will help me to understand you. And then the few things which peculiar, I'm just telling about the peculiar is, I'm little aggressive in nature. I voice my opinion loudly and strongly. I am very adventurous. I love paragliding and skydiving. I get lot of dreams. In fact, after that, for 30 minutes, she only spoke about the dreams. And the one dream which comes up again and again is a dream of flying, falling from the mountain, from the cliff, and she's flying. And the whole feeling there is weightlessness and light. And she showed with her hand, with the hand going up, straight up, you know, perpendicular up. Yeah? Then she said dreams of drying. Driving, dreams of body lying on the bed and the soul coming up, and you feel the whole feeling of lightlessness and weightlessness again. Again with the same hand gesture going perpendicular up. She said, I distress myself by cooking and music. Yeah? I observed that she frowns a lot. She does sleep talk and sleep walk. She said, I appear to people a silly little girl, but when time comes, I outperform anybody under crisis. Then she said, I love pet, very fond of animals, and she loves crow, which was really out of place. I love nature and scenic beauty. So you can see this were the out of place, out of order. For 30 minutes, 35 minutes, I didn't ask any question. Only questions were, go on, you are doing it well, just be with the flow, whatever comes, just go on. I understood, if you can see also, that out of this, what is coming up again and again is that feeling of weightlessness and the light. And these are the two things which also comes with the hand gesture, where the body and symptoms are connected. So I make this as center of my case. Are you understanding the focus of the case? Since she was all the time talking about the dreams, her level of experience was delusion. So naturally my question when I will ask will be related to the delusion level and the higher. Yeah? She was in touch with her, so I will not going to use any denial technique or a projection technique. So I asked her a question, can you describe this whole feeling of light and fly? The first thing she does is, she just takes her hand perpendicular up. Yeah? And she says, this whole feeling is, I don't know why, doctor, this comes up since the childhood. I am standing on the ground, concentrating on one point, lift my body up and elevate my body. It's complete feeling of weightlessness. In a sleep also, doctor, I can feel this whole that my body has become completely weight and I'm about to fly. So I said, just be with. Now what she did is she started connecting, the more and more hand gestures started coming up. I can tell you the hand gesture was just perpendicular going up as if you are going straight up. It is not a flying of a bird or anything. Just going up. So I said, just be with this whole process and just get connected to it. She said, you feel elevated, free, light, vibration in my body. In my body, vibration comes, very fast vibration, and body becomes completely stiff and elevated. I said, just be with it. Just keep describing. Now I'm very active, and I'm keeping a patient to this whole process in which I know that the whole remedy and everything lies. So I said, be with this whole process and keep describing it. So again, she described the whole feeling of weightlessness going up. My body becomes completely stiff and too many vibration in my body. And she said, this only happens when somebody is going to attack me. In the dream, I can see that somebody strong is going to come and attack me. And the moment this person attacks me, I elevate my body. I take myself to above ground where they can't harm me. I tell her, just be with this whole process and keep talking it. Every word you're talking is helping me. She said, I concentrate on one point, and suddenly my body gets elevated, goes straight up, as high as the height of the tree, and I'm just about the height of the tree, and just like a standstill, and you're focusing on a one point completely. And this is in order to save myself, I go up. Are you understanding? Now what she's doing is joining the animal quality of somebody attacking and she's saving herself. Mm. And that she kept on telling for 15-20 minutes. And she said, that is what happened in my life also. I'm very careful. Then anybody, I'm an Indian staying there, so anybody can come and take my passport. So I have to be on guard all the time. And this is what I see in my dream. Just elevate my body. You are steady, no wavering, on the top, the body having vibration, but you are standstill there. It is complete feeling of free, and that's why she said, I like this whole feeling of paragliding and staying in the Scotland, because that's where I can get this whole feeling of free.
Yeah.
And then she connects it to the bird. But I knew the whole thing, what she's showing with the hand gesture, going up, and stand still like, you know, not moving, is not like that of a bird. But still I went on with her. She said, you are flying like a bird. Just flying normally. Your body is straight, and you go straight up and elevate your body. And then suddenly, for any reason, she said, I love to watch helicopter. I said, from where this has come? I said, what do you mean by that? She said, I love to watch helicopter, the way helicopter is, it stands still there. I said, just be with it and keep talking. She said, then I asked her, what else this reminds you of? Just be with it. She said, nothing else this reminds me of. This is not that it is a bird, for sure. I'm not a bird. I said, no, just be with it. She said, only thing if I want to tell anything about this is a hummingbird. Now that was strange to me because generally Indians are not aware of hummingbird because we don't have hummingbird in India. And she said, only thing bird I can come closer to is a hummingbird because it is cute. That was her answer. And that's where, and then I connect, everything what she spoke right in the beginning got connected to the whole case. All the rubrics, you know, whether it is I'm aggressive or whether I am, you know, I outperform everyone, all those things got connected to the case. Yeah, for me, now, searching for the remedy, though she mentioned of hummingbird, I don't wanted to give it. So I said, what is the center of the case? Let me see it. The whole center of the case is elevate my body and to a higher point just about the tree where you are standstill and only the vibration in the body. But you are standstill and that where you elevate your body and you can move in any plane, you can move. It is not that you only go forward. You can move down, up, forward, backward, sideways. This is the freedom you have when you are elevated your body. I said, which drug has this? First I put, okay, I have to search a remedy which has this kind of a thing. Then the animal kingdom was there. And definitely the all freedom and lightnessness and the weight and flying and dream of driving, all these things were there. So I said, okay, the bird kingdom looks like, but which bird has this kind of a thing where they stand still on a point, they can move in any plane, where they have to concentrate on one point and they stand still. Then I started reading about hummingbird. And that is the bird which is known as the helicopter of the bird industry, you know, a bird kingdom, which can fly in any direction it wants. It can stop like a helicopter in the mid-flying. Once I saw, and then I saw the proving of hummingbird, then I was very sure that yes, all things are matching, where the center of the patient is matching with the center of the remedy. And if I'm sure you all know about hummingbird, that how they can concentrate on a one point, stand still, but their wings are moving very fast. That is what she's talking about, the vibration in the body. The whole remedy which homeopathic proving is Calypte Anna. That is the name of the remedy. So this is how you understood in a passive, something came up, then I took the focus, Then I explored the focus and then how the whole process and the source came out. And whole life is a since childhood till today, this experience inside my body, I feel it. And then she went to the awareness level. She said, I can feel it right now also, that weightlessness and light. If you ask me more, my body can lift right now. And that is what she want to do. Practice all the things so that she can elevate her body. Then she mentioned about the poem which she writes. And all her poems are about freedom and restriction. That's the reason why the 26 year of age, she went to the Scotland where she has the freedom and the mountains and the greenery and all. Do you understand?
Yeah, very good. I think we probably have time for one more question, Dinesh. Let me.
Sure.
One more question I think we have time for. We've got a couple of minutes here, so please. Yeah? Yes, go ahead. Hello?
How long are your sessions usually, Dinesh?
Yes, this is a good question. Initially, my sessions were little longer because I was learning. I was putting an effort to make this whole case-taking reproducible for me in every case. So initially, because I was not trained, it was 2.5 hours, sometime 3 hours. But now, since it is so scientific and so reproducible, like initially you wait for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you remain open till you get the center. But once you get the center, it is automatic, simple, and to the center. I believe with this method, you save all the times which generally being wasted in other kind of case taking where you ask all the question to all the patient and you don't know where the center is. So with this case taking, maximum 1 hour or 1.5 hour, you go to the center of the patient and you are very sure also in every stage of this patient's life, this is the center. So now, maximum 1.5 hour.
Right. Well, I see we're out of time. I want to thank everybody. Dinesh, thank you so much. I know you have a very busy schedule, and we appreciate you taking the time out to join us. If we could give Dinesh a big North American thank you, I think that would be great.
Thank you so much, Dinesh.
That was really great.
It was my pleasure, and I look forward to meet you somewhere soon in the universe.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Bye-bye.
Much.